Chapter 2. A Secret on the Moon. Sam hated job interviews. Sometimes he said completely the wrong things, and sometimes he didn't know what to say at all. Today's interviews were going very badly. He was tired and fed up and angry.
"I'm sorry, Mr. Witwicky, but..."
"You're not the right person for this job."
"You're too young."
"You're too old."
"You're..."
In his last interview, Sam was sitting opposite a strange man with a big smile but very cold eyes. Sam was waiting for him to say, "I'm sorry, Mr. Witwicky," but the words didn't come. Instead, the man said something completely unexpected.
"Okay, Mr. Witwicky, you've got the job."
Sam nearly fell off his chair. The man smiled again. He had big, very white teeth.
"It seems you have a friend at the top. Lucky you."
Suddenly, he looked past Sam, and his face changed.
"You there!"
he shouted, and hit the glass table hard with his hand. Sam turned. A young woman was drinking tea from a red cup. She froze with the cup in her hand.
"That's a red cup, and this is a yellow floor. Get out! Now!"
Then he looked at Sam again with his smile full of teeth.
"Welcome, Mr. Witwicky. Your job is in the post room."
Sam stood up slowly. He had saved the world twice, and his job was sorting letters? He didn't like this man, and he didn't like the company. He started to speak.
"But I..."
Mr. Brazos looked at him coldly.
"It's a job, Mr. Witwicky."
The Autobots and Colonel Lennox had returned to their U.S. Army base from Russia. Optimus Prime was very, very angry. When the Autobots first started helping the U.S. Army, they had promised to share everything they learned about the Decepticons with the Autobots. They clearly hadn't. Optimus's voice was shaking with anger.
"You have lied to us. You didn't tell us about finding this machine part."
Charlotte Meering looked very small compared to Optimus. But the U.S. Director of National Intelligence wasn't worried by the huge robot in front of her.
"We didn't lie, Optimus. We didn't know about it," she said calmly. "Now we do. Let me introduce you to someone who can tell you everything."
An older man with bright blue eyes and white hair came over.
"This is Buzz Aldrin, one of the first men on the moon."
Optimus looked into the man's blue eyes. The eyes were honest.
"You are a great man," he said quietly.
Buzz smiled.
"And you have done great things, too. I need to share a secret with you," he continued. "We went to the moon in 1969 for a special reason. We needed to find and search a crashed UFO. We were successful. We brought back some strange, long pieces of metal, but we still have no idea what they are or what they can do. Optimus, only 35 people know about this."
"We now think that the Russians also knew about it," added Charlotte. "We believe that they sent spaceships to the moon, too, and brought back more of these metal bars. They thought they could use them to produce power. They kept them at Chernobyl. You know what happened next."
Optimus shook his head. This was terrible news.
"This machine part is from the Ark, an Autobot spaceship that escaped at the end of our war. It carried important technology that could save our world."
"But what is this technology?" asked Meering. "Why is it so important?"
Optimus hesitated for a moment. Then he explained.
There were hundreds of these pieces of metal, like the one that you brought back.
He looked at Buzz.
We call them pillars. There is one control pillar, too. If this pillar is activated, it joins with the other pillars to send electricity into space to make a space bridge.
Meering couldn't understand. A space bridge?
Yes,
replied Optimus. His voice was very serious.
This space bridge can transport anything through space and time. Only one person can activate the space bridge, and that is the person who designed it. This Autobot was also on the ship to guard the pillars. His name was Sentinel Prime, and he was the leader of the Autobots before me. We must go back to the moon and bring Sentinel here before the Decepticons find him. This technology could destroy your world.
Sam visited Carly at work for the first time because he needed to tell her about his job. He was amazed at the building. It was huge and modern. The walls were all clean and white, and the floors were wooden and shining. The only furniture was glass tables and black chairs. But Sam was surprised to see a very old, expensive car in the middle of the room. There were pictures of cars all over the walls, too. And there was another surprising thing. Carly was in nearly every picture, with a tall man. When Carly heard Sam's news, she jumped up and kissed him.
That's fantastic, she said.
Then a tall, handsome man came into the room.
This is my boss, Dylan. She smiled.
Dylan was taller than Sam, a little older, and clearly very rich. There was a special light in his eyes when he looked at Carly.
Good to meet you, Sam. Carly is a wonderful woman. You're a lucky man.
Carly smiled brightly back at him, and Sam felt even smaller. Then Dylan pointed to the car.
Do you like that, Sam?
He asked with another big smile.
That's my hobby. I like beautiful things that have a perfect shape.
He looked at Carly again. Sam wanted to hit him. Sam wanted to hit Dylan even more a few moments later when he tried to start his old yellow car to drive home. Of course, it refused to start again, and Sam's face felt very red.
Why is everything going wrong? He thought.
He was kicking the car and shouting at it when Dylan came out of the building towards him.
I hear you got a new job, Dylan said quietly to Sam. I knew it was important for Carly, so I told the boss at Accureta Systems to employ you. Hope you enjoy it.
Then he walked back into his big building and to his expensive cars. Optimus and Ironhide stepped onto the moon from the Autobot spaceship. The big robots felt as light as air as they moved through the special atmosphere. After only a few moments, they found the Ark lying on its side, just as Aldrin described it. In the darkness, Optimus found the silent body of his old friend, Sentinel. It was lying, still, in the darkness. He lifted him carefully.
Let's get you home, old friend, Optimus said quietly.
In a red-hot part of Africa, an old truck drove along a dusty road. When it reached a group of dirty, broken buildings, it stopped, and the sound of screaming metal filled the air. Soon, the truck had changed into a huge robot with shining red eyes. It was Megatron, the leader of the Decepticons. Laserbeak flew through the empty sky and landed in front of him, its metal wings cutting through the hot air.
What can I do, Master? He asked.
Megatron lifted his face to the sky. His red eyes shone with excitement.
It is done, he roared. Now you must find those who know the secret. Kill them all.
A funny robot smiled at a child in her garden.
Is your daddy home?
He asked in a high, whispering voice. The little girl laughed and opened the door. The man who was watching television smiled too, until the small robot turned into a huge metal bird with sharp teeth and bright red eyes.
Only visiting,
whispered Laserbeak as he dived for the man's throat.